Amen. Amen. Thank you for that wonderful time of worship. Galatians chapter 5 tonight, as we continue our study of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you just to follow along with me. I'm actually going to read the passage tonight, verses 13 through 25 of Galatians chapter 5. Before we read this passage, let me set it up in this way. Paul has been talking to the Galatians about the fact that they have moved out of the realm of freedom and grace that God called them to. And they're paying a high price for that. Remember, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. And they have forfeited so much by moving out of that realm. Now, last week, in the first part of chapter 5, Paul talked to them about don't forfeit your freedom. That's why he says you've been called to freedom, so stand firm in that freedom. Don't let anyone move you out of being free. But tonight, he's going to talk to us about abusing that freedom. Because you see, freedom is a great privilege, but it carries with it a great responsibility. So Paul is going to talk to all of us tonight about what does it look like in this realm of grace and freedom. How is that life walked out in that realm, you see? So please follow along as I read verses 13 through 25. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge your flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment, namely, you must love your neighbor as yourself. However, if you continually bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, depravity, idolatry, sorcery, hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envying, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and similar things. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance with the Spirit. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to take verse 26, the last verse of chapter 5, and actually fold it into the message next week of the first 10 verses of chapter 6. Paul is reminding us in these chapters that legalism is not the right way, but license is not the right way. Neither is the right way, the way that God calls us to. We don't just live however we want to, but we also don't subject ourselves to a law, to a set of rules and regulations and checking off boxes and all of that. We live a life of liberty. And that liberty then leads us to a life of love, you see. So it's neither legalism, nor is it license, but it's love. That's what liberty calls us to. Notice, back in verse 13, you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And let's be reminded, we have been freed once and for all from the penalty of sin as Christians. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I who have accepted Christ, we are free once and for all from the penalty of sin.
Hallelujah.
Now our sanctification is freeing us from the power of sin and from the pollution of sin. And those things will be happening in our life as Christians until we go to be with Jesus. And when we do that, God has promised us that he will one day even free us from the very presence of sin. Because in heaven, there will be no more sin. Amazing, the freedom that God calls us to, right? What I want us to see in this passage as we journey through it, as I want to sort of take us through this passage by looking at four things tonight. I want us to look at the way of this realm of freedom and grace, the war that takes place in this realm of freedom and grace, the wind that we have in this realm of freedom and grace, and finally, the witness of this realm of freedom and grace. Let's first look at the way of this realm of freedom and grace. He says in verse 13, again, we are not to use our liberty or freedom as an opportunity to indulge our flesh, to live however we want to. That's not how God and why God set us free. He set us free from every bondage except him. Remember, we've been freed from sin and enslaved to God. And when we are living as slaves of God, there will be nothing else that brings us into bondage. God will release us from all those things because they are destructive to us. They are harmful to us. The bondage that we have with God, being one of his bond servants, is the most freeing life we could ever have, you see. And so when we think about this way of freedom, let's remember again, it's not legalism, the first 12 verses of chapter 5, but neither is it license. It is liberty that leads to love. And that's what he says in verse 13. Through love, we should be serving one another.
Amen.
We've talked a lot about the one another's. Even in Hebrews on Sunday, we talked about how we need to exhort one another daily while it is called today. Here, we are to serve one another. How are we serving one another in the body of Christ? And notice he says we only should be serving one another through love, meaning we choose to do it. We want to do it. We're not being forced to do it. We're not being guilted into do it. We're not feeling obligated like it's our duty to do it. No, we choose to love. And obviously, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but that can only happen when we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because loving like God loves is supernatural.
Amen.
Remember what Paul said in Romans 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out to us through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God poured out his love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when we're in touch with the Holy Spirit within us, we then can begin to not only acknowledge how loved we are, but we can begin to receive that love through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us. And it is that same love that motivates us and inspires us to serve one another. This is the way of freedom. This is why God set us free, so that we could love on one another and serve one another. He goes on to say, the whole commandment can be summed up, love your neighbor as yourself. That's why God set us free, you see. So if we're in any other place other than that, then we've taken ourselves out of that realm. Because inside the realm of freedom and grace, This is the kind of life we'll be living, and this is the kind of atmosphere and environment we will be living in as a community of believers, you see. We'll be, you know, pushing each other aside to serve one another. We'll be looking for opportunities to love on each other and serve one another, you see. It will just create such an environment of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood and affection for one another and caring for one another and bearing one another's burdens, as we're going to talk about next week, and praying for one another and rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. This is the kind of community that this way of living in that realm produces. But notice what Paul brings up in verse 15. They weren't experiencing this in the churches of Galatia anymore. Why? Because they had abandoned this realm, and now they're living in another realm. And so Paul is hearing about, here's what's happening in the churches at Galatia. They're biting and devouring one another, verse 15. And he says, you better beware, because if you're going to continue to do that, you're literally going to consume and be consumed by one another. You're basically going to, you know, chew each other up. And there's not going to be anything left of the fellowship and of the community of believers. This is the way of this realm. And this is how we know we're living in that realm. When we are motivated and inspired to love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Jesus does. Remember, he left us that commandment in John chapter 13. By this kind of love, the love that I have demonstrated to you, Jesus said to his disciples, it's by that kind of love that all people will know that you're my disciples. You see, how are we demonstrating that love to one another? And one of the great ways we do that is by serving one another and treating each other as we would ourselves, loving our neighbor as ourselves, not biting each other, not devouring one another, not being consumed by one another. So that's the way of the realm, right? I want us to talk, though, about the war within this realm. Because even when we live in this great realm of freedom and grace, we have to understand and acknowledge that there will always in our Christian life be a continual, irreconcilable war that will not stop until we lay aside these earthly bodies and go to be with Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 17. The flesh has its desires that are opposed, set against the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit has desires that are literally opposed, set against the flesh. And these are in continual opposition to each other. When we talk about spiritual warfare in the Christian life, most of the time we think of Ephesians 6. We think about, you know, spiritual warfare with, you know, Satan and demonic things and evil spirits and all of that. And obviously, that's a battle that we face. But to me, the greatest battle that we face is that every day we march out on a battlefield with our heart. Every day. We are a battlefield. Because our flesh, our unredeemed fallen nature that we still have as Christians, is pulling us one way, and the Holy Spirit is pulling us another way. And again, this is a continual, irreconcilable war. And we've got to live in that realm, even within this realm. Because when we're saved, we don't get rid of this flesh. It stays with us, you see. Again, until we lay it aside in death or at the rapture. So, how does God want us to navigate this war? I want to talk next about the wind. And I chose that not just because of my alliteration, because it goes with the other W's, but because there's so much in this passage about the Holy Spirit. And one of the great emblems for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is wind. That's one of the ways that he is pictured. Even in the book of Acts, when he came and they were praying, this great wind came. And they began to speak in tongues. And then there was this fire over them. And you see the breath of God, even from the book of Genesis. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, literally hovered over the waters, you see. And you see the breath of God throughout the Word, where God's breath literally comes in to his prophets, to his people, and they speak through the breath that God gives them. The Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So notice throughout this passage that in a sense, Paul says the same thing three different times in a little bit different way, because he wants us to, out of everything else in this passage, this is to me the most significant thing. There's a way within this realm. There's a war within this realm. But here's the wind that God gives us to be able to navigate and overcome and rise above this war. Verse 16. I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance or in alignment or in step with the Spirit. Three different times, he basically is saying the same thing. What is it? By the Spirit. This is how it is. This is how we navigate life. By the Spirit. We sung about that tonight. In fact, that's, you know, I love that Nicole chooses songs that goes along so well with the passages and complements the Word of God. And again, that certainly was true tonight. I hope we got that even as we were singing these worship songs tonight. I mean, verse 16, let's go back there. Because I want us to see something there. There's so many Christians that sort of invert this verse in their understanding. And word order in the Bible is very important. Okay? Notice it doesn't say, if we get a handle on the desires of our flesh, then we can live by the Spirit. Doesn't say that. And yet, many Christians, that's the way they approach their Christian life. I've got to get my flesh under control, and then I can really get tuned into the Spirit. No, just the opposite. God says, here's the wind. You just focus on living by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. You don't have to worry about defeating the flesh, you see. So often we as Christians spend so much time and effort and energy trying not to do the things that we know we shouldn't do, instead of putting all of our energy and all of our effort and all of our attention in just tuning in and living by the Spirit. That's all we need to do. Because the byproduct of being in tune and alignment and walking in step with the Spirit is we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. They have no power over us. Because look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 24. This is an important verse for understanding what's going on here. Those who belong to Christ have, past tense, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That speaks about the fact that the moment you and I got saved, in a sense, our flesh and the power that the flesh had over us was crucified. And then God gives us the Spirit so that we can, again, not have to yield to the desires of our flesh. Now, let me say this. It's important that Paul used the word crucified here, speaking about this death of our flesh, because crucifixion is a lingering death. Sin doesn't die quietly or quickly, just like those who are being crucified. So even though positionally and technically our flesh was crucified the moment we accepted Christ as Savior, it's not like, oh, well, then we've totally overcome the flesh. No, no. Again, that war, that opposition between flesh and spirit will be with us our entire Christian life. But God's given us the greatest wind, if you will, beneath our wings to help us rise above this battle and this war and be victorious. Simply, he's saying to us, learn to live by the Spirit. Just get in tune, walk in step with the Spirit. Or as the last song said, learn to be one with the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. So I guess my encouragement to any of you who are listening or watching tonight is this. If you're struggling with something of the flesh, stop trying to defeat the flesh. It's irredeemable, and it's always going to hang. I hope I don't gross anybody out by using this illustration, but as a Christian, it's like we're carrying a dead body around on our backs. That's what the flesh is. We're carrying around this dead body called the flesh. And we have to be okay with that because greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world, and also who's hanging around on our back. And if we just stop trying to defeat the flesh and start learning to walk in the Spirit, our whole life will look so different. Because when the Holy Spirit's in control of us, the desires of the flesh will continue to just sort of wane. They'll diminish. The Holy Spirit will take all the wind as our wind out of those strong desires, and they won't be dominant anymore. The dominant force and influence in our life will be the Holy Spirit. And all these other things that cause us, you know, annoyance and harm and all of these things will just sort of begin to melt away as we grow stronger in the Spirit of God. So Paul is saying, just as we don't want to forfeit our freedom, we also don't want to abuse our freedom. We live in a world today that's all about rights but not responsibility. And as people of God who have been called to freedom, we have been given a great privilege. But with every privilege comes great responsibility. And so God says the way to live in this realm is to live supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, letting him love others through us and serving them. Because if we choose not to live in that realm, we will be all about ourselves. We will begin to be judgmental and critical, and we will begin to bite and devour and consume one another. Don't live that way, Paul says. Pretty soon, those churches in Galatia won't even exist. Even if they exist physically, there will be no light left because you've been consumed by one another. Learn to live in liberty. And that means live in love. And then he says, know this, there is a war even in that realm, you see. But at least the war between our flesh and the Holy Spirit is a winnable one because of the Holy Spirit, the wind that God has given to us. And then I want to talk for just a few moments tonight about the witness. Paul uses this passage to remind us there is a witness to living outside this realm, and there is a witness to living inside this realm. And notice what he says then in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. It's very evident. It's not like, I don't know, you know. No. The works of the flesh are out there for everybody to see. Amen. They cannot be hidden. And he lists them there. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a representative list. It doesn't cover everything. But I think we get the idea. But I want you to contrast verse 19, the works of the flesh, with verse 22, when we live in this realm of freedom and grace, we are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, notice a couple things. One, the word works is plural. The word fruit is singular. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let's go back to the word works. Paul is reminding us, when we are living outside this realm, we are worked up all the time, putting forth so much effort and energy into our sin, into our disobedience. As the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard. There is a price to pay. There are consequences that come from living outside this realm. And people are constantly working hard to sin and being worked up to sin because it works. But when we live in the realm of freedom and grace, it's not works, it's fruit. Couple things. First of all, why is works plural and fruit singular? Because when we are living by the Spirit, the fruit is all together. Don't look at the fruit of the Spirit as, I gotta learn to be more loving. No, I gotta learn to be more joyful. No, I gotta learn to be, I gotta self. No, no. It's a package deal. If I'm connected to the Holy Spirit, they'll all be there when they need to be there. I don't have to worry, just like I don't have to worry about, you know, defeating the flesh. I just have to worry about learning to walk in the Spirit. I also don't have to worry about manifesting all nine of this fruit. All I have to do is live and walk and be in step with the Spirit, and they'll be there when they need to be there. And I don't have to work for it. Wait for it. Jesus says in John 15, if you just abide and remain in me, and you just stay connected to the vine, you will do what? You'll bear much fruit. You see, that's the beauty of a fruit tree. The orange hanging on the tree doesn't have to exert itself going, I got to try real hard to be an orange. No. All it has to realize is if I'm connected to the right tree, I'm going to become an orange, just the byproduct of being connected to the right source. That's the Christian life. We make it so complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. I just have to stay connected to Jesus. I just have to live in the Spirit, and all the other stuff will take care of itself. The sinner, the one who lives outside of this realm, they're the ones that have to work all the time. Our witness is our fruit. And our fruit comes simply by abiding in Christ and remaining in Christ and living in the Spirit. And the fruit will be there. Now, one other thing. At the end of verse 21, Paul makes a very significant statement. In fact, he uses the word warning twice there. That when he's talking about the works of the flesh, he says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, there are some that take this as meaning that if people practice that, that means they're not going to be in heaven. They are not saved. I personally don't take that way. I think the key is the word inherit. You can be part of the family and not inherit anything. And it's very clear in other passages of Scripture that the Bible tells us that this kind of state is possible even for a Christian. Even when we studied the book of 1 Corinthians, what does Paul say to the Corinthians in the very first chapter, or chapter 3? He says, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the what? The flesh. You're manifesting more flesh than you are spirit in the church at Corinth. And then later on in that very chapter, he basically says, it is possible for a Christian to face judgment day and have everything burned up and have nothing to show for their life. No reward, no impact, no positive influence by their life at all. But they are saved, Paul says, yet as by fire. So I think that this is a warning to Christians saying how we live our life after we're a Christian, it counts for a lot. And one thing it counts for is what will our inheritance be, if anything, in the kingdom, in glory. Because our inheritance is based on how faithful we walked out our Christian life. Well done, good and faithful servant. And as you've heard me say many times, not every Christian is going to hear those words. So it's a sobering and significant statement, but one that Paul drops in there because he's saying it matters what realm we're living in. It matters what we're manifesting. It matters how we treat one another. You see. In fact, the main point of next week's message, and I'm not going to circumvent the message, but I want to set it up based upon this because I don't want us to forget the foundation of what Paul's going to say next week from verse 26 on in through the first 10 verses of chapter 6 is a life lived in the Spirit. A life lived in this realm reveals itself in our relationships with one another. It does. That's why he began by saying, if I'm truly living in that realm, then I'm going to love and serve my brothers and sisters in Christ and all that God brings into my life that God leads me to. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, you see. That's going to be it. And that's why then you'll notice in verse 26, what does he say at the end of the chapter? Let's not become conceited, provoking one another, being jealous of one another. Paul's saying, you cannot separate our life in the Spirit, our life in the realm of freedom and grace, and our relationships with each other. They go hand in hand. We measure how we're living by the Spirit, by how we treat one another and how we relate to one another, you see. Because you'll notice even in verses 19, 20, and 21, and then the fruit of the Spirit, 22 and 23, that much of those either works or fruit deals with how we relate to one another around us. You see, how we express living in that realm. So, Paul says, let's not be legalistic. That gets us nowhere. That takes us out of this realm. You know, rules, regulations, rituals, checking off boxes. But license doesn't get us anywhere either because that takes us out of this realm. We can't just indulge our flesh and indulge every desire that we have and think that somehow we're free. No, we're actually enslaving ourselves to all that. No, the way of God is liberty. A liberty that leads to love. A liberty that leads to acknowledging that there's an irreconcilable war within my heart that will continue until I go to be with Jesus. But through the Holy Spirit, I can win that war every day. If we live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then God basically says, and there's a witness of whether we're living in this realm or some other realm. Because the works of the flesh are pretty obvious, but so's the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's lean into the Spirit. Let's learn to live, to walk in step, to align ourselves with the Spirit like never before. I think that could be the greatest sort of secret, if you will, to living the Christian life and taking more and higher ground for God, is just learning more and more to walk in step every day with the Holy Spirit. May all of us desire to do that in our life. Before I pray tonight, a couple things. The Lord is really moving and working in our church, in all of our lives, in mine, in a significant way in this season. And I just want to ask you all to be praying specifically. I know you do every week, but to pray specifically for this Sunday service. As God continues to prepare me for the message on Sunday and for those services on Sunday, I believe that God is going to move in a very significant and special way Sunday. And I think we need to be prepared for his moving. So would you join me in prayer that all of us would come with hearts that are just open to whatever God wants to say or do in our church and in each of our lives. And then one other thing, I want to give you a little taste of what's coming. We're in chapter 6 next week, which means we've only got one chapter left or 2 weeks left in the book of Galatians. So where are we going after that? Well, we're going to the prophet Habakkuk. 3 weeks, it's only three chapters, but we're going to spend 3 weeks in the prophet Habakkuk. And I don't know whether you've ever studied Habakkuk in depth. I would encourage you to come. And let me tell you why I think we all need Habakkuk, all right? Because Habakkuk struggles with his God just like we do. Because Habakkuk is an example of someone who's demonstrating a perplexed faith. I mean, he believes, but he just doesn't understand, God, why are you doing what you're doing? I don't get it. Sort of like the Old Testament equivalent of, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Habakkuk is a perplexed prophet, and he's asking God, why, God, why? Have you ever questioned God? Then Habakkuk is for you and for me. So I hope you'll join us in a couple weeks as we go through this small but very powerful message of the prophet Habakkuk. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for our time together in your house tonight. God, would you help us to live by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to behave in accordance with the Spirit, to just realize, God, we don't have to spend all this energy and effort, Lord, trying to be fruitful and trying to overcome the flesh. We just need to let your Spirit take the lead and follow and yield and surrender. So, Lord, help us to do that in the days ahead. And God, go with us. Take us all home safely tonight. And God, prepare our hearts for what you have for us Sunday. God, thank you for the way you're working and moving in our church already. But God, I believe that this Sunday, you have something special for us, some manifestation of yourself, Lord, that you want to do here on Sunday in those two services. And God, I pray that we will be ready and that we will be prepared for what you have. So God, may we be prayerful as we approach Sunday. And may we, Lord, ask your Holy Spirit to get us aligned with him so that we can get everything out of this Sunday's services that you want us to get. Lord, we thank you for being here in our midst. We thank you, God, that we can reach out and touch you, and we know you're with us, God. Would you go with us the rest of this week? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless. We'll see you next week.